He's risen. Happy Easter. You are risen. It's the truth. That is the objective truth of the reality of the resurrection in this, on this day. What is it? April 20th, 2025. You are risen in Christ. That's the truth. Ephesians says we are seated with him where? Heavenly places. You are in Christ. And so today, I want to talk about a very unique word, beautiful, profound word. In different translations, it is the word unite. In some translations, it is the word to sum up. If you think of an equation, a mathematical equation, you can have all of these different parts, but ultimately it comes to a sum. And the scripture we're about to read, and you can see this picture. The reason I chose this picture is because God tells us that his plan and purpose is he's summing up. He's taking all things in the cosmos and he's putting them together and he's summing them all up in Christ. He's going to do that. He's going to do that. And so that's why I chose this picture. But not only is it to unite, we're going to see this scripture shortly, to unite or to sum up. And there's a Greek word that I'm not expecting us to learn, because you're not going to be around the water fountain at work saying, "Hey, I learned a new Greek word today." But the Greek word is so profound and so full that we look at today, of where hopefully we're going to grasp just a little bit, apprehend a little bit more of this incredible accomplishment that God has done for mankind in the death, the incarnation, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Okay, so we're going to look at Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. So in him, who's the him? Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the poverty of his grace. According to the what? The riches of his grace. That's why when I was praying earlier, where sin abounds, what does grace do? It abounds all the more. Grace always wins. Always wins. The riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. I mean, in Christ are hidden all of wisdom, all of knowledge. I mean, God is so incredible. He blows us away as he reveals himself in such simple yet profound ways. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. You like good mysteries? What is the mystery of his will? What is his purpose, according to his purpose, that he set forth in Christ? And here it is. That as a plan, the plan for the fullness of time, that is when Christ came, in the fullness of time, to unite, there's our word, to unite. It's to sum up, to bring all things together. He's uniting all things in him. Who's the him? Jesus. He's summing up how many things? All things. Let that shape your theology. All things. That means the things that we have that are incredible tragedies and crises that break us. That's part of the all things. That in the time, that over time, he will unite these things. He will bring them all together. That means you. That means the neighbor that you don't get along with. That means the person that rubs you the wrong way. That means your enemies. That means you plug it in. That's everybody. He is uniting all things in where? Heaven and earth. Isn't that how Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this word, unite, that's what I want us to focus on today, because it is so powerful and profound. So, unite, the summing up. Now, there's the Greek word, and I phonetically put it on my phone so I can say it, because I'm not a Greek scholar. So it's anakephalo-osthai. Anakephalo-osthai. You want to say it? No, don't try. Anakephalo-osthai. Okay, it is the summing up of all things, but it has such an incredible, profound truth, deeper than that. The translators just tried to use a word that communicated what God is saying, but they couldn't. In our language, they would have had to, like, that's why paraphrase versions are sometimes better, because one word is just like blossoms and overflows. So here's this word, unite. It has this idea of summing up all things or bringing all things together, but it has this aspect under it. Under one new head. Under one new head. This past November, we had an election. I don't know if you're aware of that. There's a little thing going on in our country where there's a change of leadership, right? And whether you voted for that or you didn't, whether you're happy about that or you're disgusted by that, we are under a new head, right? The nation is under a new head. How many are football fans? Any football fans? I know there's not many in this congregation. Some of you gave it up for Lent. That's it? Raise your hand high so I can see. I love to use illustrations that nobody cares about. Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, if you didn't know, there's this little football team in Pittsburgh called the Steelers. And they're right now in kind of a quarterback quandary. We used to have this quarterback. His name was Mason Rudolph. And we traded him off because we thought another guy, Kenny Pickett, was going to be our savior. And that didn't turn out. And so then we got Russell Wilson, and that was better, but that isn't turning out either. So now maybe we'll see. We might have Aaron Rodgers. That's what we want, right? A 42-year-old quarterback. Maybe I should try out. So you can yell at me not only after church, but on TV. But eventually the Steelers are going to have a quarterback, whether that's Mason Rudolph. But you see, it's the team, the offense is going to be under a new head. All right. So that's what this word, anakephalo-osthai, is trying to say. It's not just that there's a summing up or a bringing together, but it's under a new head. It's a retelling of a story. And so we have a story that was told, and God is retelling the story. So we sing about Jesus. We talk about how he is a name above every name. Every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess. Why? Because he's humanity's head. Okay? And so who's humanity's head? Christ. Scripture refers to him as the last Adam. Why does it refer to him as the last Adam? Because there was an Adam before him. Okay? Who was humanity's former head? Adam. Right? The first Adam. The first Adam. So here's the story that God is retelling. Here's the beauty of the scriptures as it tells the redemptive story. Is that the second Adam was a picture of the first Adam. The first Adam came and was a prototype of the second Adam. And what happened with the first Adam? The first Adam was created. God breathed the breath of life into him and he became a living soul and he was put into this garden, a paradise. And now we hear about a talking snake, and a talking snake comes to his wife Eve and says, "Hey, why don't you eat from this tree?" She said, "We can't eat from the tree. We can't even touch it." And he says, "Oh, no, don't worry about that. Because if you eat from the tree, what's going to happen is God doesn't want you to eat from the tree. Because if you eat from that tree, you'll be like him." The lie, you see, they were already like him. But the point is this. So then what? She ate, and then Adam ate, and what happened? Death entered the world. Death through sin entered the world through the first Adam. And what did our first Adam do? What did he display as he was Now encountered by the Father as he came into the garden. He said, Adam, where are you? God doesn't lose people. He's inviting Adam into the conversation. Let's talk about what happened. And Adam says, I'm in the bushes. I'm scared. I'm hiding. He's like, why are you hiding? What have you done? Have you eaten from the tree? And what does the first Adam do? He makes an accusation. He says, it's the woman. It's her fault. Sorry, ladies. That was our former representative, right? He's not, love doesn't cover for Adam, the first Adam. He's pointing the finger. He says, that woman. And then he points the finger at God and he says, that woman that what? You gave me. So the first Adam, when he falls in disobedience, he starts to make accusation. That was the former head. Now, God is bringing salvation to the world. He's showing through the epochs and through the eons and the mystery of his will. In the fullness of time, Christ comes. And now we see Christ born. He comes to the Jordan River. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then immediately the Holy Spirit sends him where? Into paradise? Into a desert. See the picture. Okay, we have the first Adam in beauty. We have the first Adam in just Shangri-La. We have the first Adam. Everything's provided for him in a beautiful place of comfort. But now the second Adam is taken out into the wilderness. And then he is tempted as well. Right? And so our second Adam, our new head, who was in the first Adam? All of us were in the first Adam. For all have sinned. Yes? Did you, like when you were born, when you came out of your mama's womb, you were under the head. You were under Adam. Yes? Yeah, you didn't participate in it, but because he was the head, the federated head, the representation of mankind, the first Adam, the first born, we were under his headship, therefore we were the recipients of all that he was, regardless of how you felt about it. So the second Adam comes, and the second Adam is in the wilderness, and now his temptation comes, just like the first Adam. The story is being told. It's being retold. Hi, Henry, you waving at me? That means that breakfast is ready. Anytime, thank you. So anytime means 5 minutes. Anytime means 10. Anytime means an hour, Gav. How long would you like me to go, Gav? Another 5, 10, 20? It's up to you. Everybody's going to be madder. Up to me, man. Look at that. Freedom. Love you, Gav. That's where you say love you too. All right. So the second Adam gets tempted, and what does he do? He trusts Father. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? He says, God doesn't, or man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He takes him up to the temple. So why don't you throw yourself off here? God's angels, uses the word, God's angels will bear you up. Nope, don't tempt the Lord your God. Why don't you just bow down and worship me? No, we worship the Lord God and him only shall we worship. And the enemy goes away and Jesus comes. And so Jesus, just like the first Adam, the second Adam, he did not give in to temptation. The first Adam makes an accusation and says, it was her and it was you. I'm not taking responsibility for this. The second Adam, when he is crucified, what does he do? He's on the cross and he takes all the responsibility onto himself. And then he looks at the ones who did it to him and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We are under a new head. Okay, and so all of humanity was under the first Adam. How much of humanity is under the second? That's the idea of anakephalozostai. The summing up, the putting under of the new head. We are under the old head, and look what it brought, death. It brought sin and death. Their very first set of kids, one killed the other one. And we have mastered the art of death. And now Jesus comes and he says, it is finished. I have accomplished what was talked about in the ages, the mystery of the ages, before the foundations of the world. This was the plan, that God would show us that us by ourselves would wane away into nothingness. But God is the author. He's the finisher. He's the creator and the sustainer of life. And that he is bringing salvation to us because we are under now his head. Who is included in that first Adam? All. Who was included in the second last Adam? All. Romans 5:18. Is this anywhere else in scripture that we can see? Is this what Paul's trying to teach us in Ephesians? Yes. In Romans, he says this. Therefore, as one trespass, he's talking about Adam, the first Adam, as one trespass led to condemnation for how many? Anakephalozothai, the headship of the first Adam. All were condemned. So one act of righteousness leads to justification for? Because we're under a new head. We're under, Christ has taken humanity under his wing, and he is being the savior of humanity. Is it anywhere else? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. For as by a man came death, and by a man also has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and everybody said amen. And so we can say amen to also in Christ shall all be made alive. Welcome to the gospel. That sounds like good news to me. That's good news. And so how do we have to participate in that good news? We repent. We change our mind about who God is. And we say God is for us and not against us. And then we participate in that by saying, thank you what you've done for me, God. And now I'm going to walk in participation with you by your spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And so we are co-union. We are in co-union with Christ. He has wrapped all of humanity in his love. The summing up. So when Jesus died, who died? Follow the message. All. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Wait, Paul, when Jesus was crucified, you weren't a believer. As a matter of fact, Paul, when Christ was crucified and people started following him, you started crucifying them. You started persecuting them. But Paul said, but yet, when Christ died on that cross, I died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Why? Headship. Anakephalozothai. He's the head. I was in him. I'm in Christ. That was Paul's message. In Christ. So when Jesus died, who died? All. When Jesus was buried, who was buried? All of humanity. When Jesus rose, who rose? Therefore, if Christ be risen, we are risen. And then when Jesus ascended, who ascended? That's why Paul can say in Ephesians, we're seated with him in heavenly places. Welcome to the gospel of the glorious God, the blessed God, who from before the foundations of the world started out with the story, and the story began to be told, and the story began to be told by us as we in Adam rebelled and we said, we don't need you. And God said, yes, you do. And you'll see. And I'll give myself in co-suffering, self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love. And that love will lead you to repentance. It will change your mind about me and you will follow me and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart. You will. You won't be. Love clearly seen is irresistible. So he's summing all things together. He's bringing them all together under one new head. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him? Well, the devil's going to stop. No, devil's not going to stop him. How about death? Is death going to stop him? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Hell going to stop him? Hell gets thrown into this thing called the lake of fire. Wait a minute, I thought the lake of fire was hell. No, death and hell get thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the consuming, all-consuming nature of God. He is summing up all things. We have a wonderful Savior. He's a good shepherd. And when I was off, unknown to myself, doing my own thing, that good shepherd left the 99 and came after this one. And he does for you too. He does for you too. And he never relents. Never relents. That's why you're constantly drawn. You know when we do those stupid things and we go, oh. Oh, and he never relents. And he's drawing us. Why? Because he's summing you up. He's drawing. You're a part of the equation. He cannot have any equals without you in it. The equation has your neighbor in it, and it can't be equal to the summing up of all things without them. Your enemy is in the equation. Your sufferings are in the equation. Your celebrations are in the equation. And Jesus is Savior of all. He is risen. You are risen. Tell the wonderful story of the gospel of the blessed God. All right, we're going to share communion together. This is the sacrament. This is the new covenant that I just scratched the surface of describing. Come on, Tim, Rich. You can go ahead and start passing it out. I'm going to read scripture. We're going to ask you to hold it until we can all take it together. So this is what Paul says. For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant in my blood. God said in Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people. And I will write my laws upon their heart. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come again. Thank you, Lord. All hail King Jesus. Humanity's new head. Recapitulation. The bringing together of all things. And so on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. I want you to try and capture that today across this city and in our time zone, there are bodies of believers and they're most likely taking communion. And we are saying the Lord is one. Many members, one body. And so as the Lord brings all these things together, what's he doing? He's bringing us together. He's teaching us to love one another as he has loved us. And no greater loveth anyone than he lays down his life for his friends. And so we follow the self-sacrificial one. And so then throughout this entire day, I'm sure it already happened in time zones before us, they took of the bread. And so we join the universal Catholic universal body of Christ this morning. And so on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Follow me. Follow me. Let's take. In him was light, and light was the life of men. For all things were created by him and for him, and by him all things exist. So in our house we raise the cup in honor of the one worthy. Peter said, where else can we go, Lord? You alone teach us about eternal life. And so in the same manner he took the cup. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant. The new covenant. The reason I keep saying new covenant is because for so many years I was bipolar and I lived in the old and the new covenant. Now we live in the new covenant. And he's given us this incredible ministry of reconciliation whereby we tell people God is not counting your sins against you. He's already forgiven them. Be reconciled to God. He's already reconciled to you. You be reconciled to him. And so we hold up the cup to Jesus, the name above every name, to the name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Every tongue will confess. That word is joyfully confess. Not with a boot on their neck. Not with a sword at their throat. But they will joyfully confess that Jesus is Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. We are forgiven. We died with him. We raised with him. We ascended with him to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this time together. As we commemorate, we change our service time to this early morning service. Recognizing the dawn of a new day, the dawn of a new age, the dawn of a new covenant. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth through me. Let me follow you, Lord, by your grace, empowered by your Holy Spirit. Let your kingdom come through me, to my family, to my neighbors, to my workplace, to the world. Expand your kingdom and your love and your desire through me. Father, we thank you for the meal we're about to have downstairs. We acknowledge that every good, wonderful gift comes from you. We love food. Thank you for that incredible creation. We bless you for it. Thank you for all the hands that prepared it and all the love that went into it. Bless our time and fellowship together. May your blessing be upon everyone here, every family represented, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.